Okay, it's a very, very special schus to be back together. It's been a long time for a lot of us, looking around the room. A lot of us over the summer were in a lot of places. I had the schus over the last 2.5 weeks to be in Eretz Yisrael. I was really davening that I would have stayed there, and you would have met me there, but Meretz Hashem, Bekarav Mamish. But it's a special schus to be back together learning Torah. The Torah tonight should be, first of all, sponsored and by Becca Rosenberg and her mishpacha for a special refuah shleima. It's Hashem Shev, big refuahs. We all have read about the family in Cleveland that a week ago was in a terrible car accident, and two of the girls need big tefilos. I'm sure you all know the names, but Leah Hadassah Bas Michal Chana and Chava Bas Michal Chana. Becker herself knows of the family personally, and both these girls need refuos, and we should have them in our tefillos, and all the learning tonight should be lerfu shalema for their refuos, bekar of mamish, along with all the chaylim in Klal Yisrael. Also, today happens to be Becker's Hebrew birthday, so mirtz Hashem, the learning should be for zchus, for a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of only shefa from the Rabbona Shalom. And I also wish a very special mazel tov to Daniela. We've been having this shir here for, I don't know how long, a long time already. And Mirtz Hashem, it's not going to be the final shir here. Mirtz Hashem will probably only have about one more shir here before Daniela is zoicha to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll have hopefully all our shir in Eretz Yisrael. But I want to wish Mirtz Hashem a week from tonight. It's going to be Daniela's chasna with Yudarye. On a personal level, the two individuals that I happen to be very, very close to. And I'm very excited. And Mirtz Hashem, they should be zoicha to build the Bais Nam Yisrael. Mali simcha, mali bracha. The simcha that you're feeling and that you're going to feel should Bez Hashem be the smallest simcha of your life. Only continued simchas. This past Monday night, late at night, it was 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, at the schus to be sitting by the Kaisel Maravi. And it was an amazing experience. You'd think 1 o'clock at the Kaisel, so we all know there are probably a few people there, whatever it might be. But in the month of Elul, it's packed. Mamish, thousands of people at the Kaisel on a random Monday night. Mostly Svardim. Who we know, Svardim already have a minog starting Rosh Chodesh Elul to start saying Slichus. We Ashkenazim, we wouldn't be able to keep that up. Our Koach Tefillah is not like Svardim. We have to learn from them. Maybe there's some Svardim in the room. So we only have a few days of Slichus. But already Rosh Chodesh Elul, a month before Hashanah, they're preparing and saying Slichus. And the best time to say Slichus is Chatzos HaLaila. And I'm looking around and watching these individuals, these tzaddikim. And they were tzaddikim, every type of tzaddik you could imagine. A tzaddik in a big black yarmulke, and a tzaddik, many tzaddikim wearing those kaisel yarmulkes, you know, those white kaisel yarmulkes crunched on their head with earrings and shaved heads. But davening mamish me'amkus halev, every one of them. Davening from the depths of their hearts. They saw davening like a halavai I should daven on Yom Kippur. It was an amazing thing. I've had this chus for many, many years to be zoicha to daven and be in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur, and often I'm there Erev Yom Kippur. And Erev Yom Kippur, the Kaisel is packed with saying slichos and tefillos. And you see a scene of many people, mamish, crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here we were over a month prior to that. And watching, for me, it was so inspiring to watch person after person davening in such a deep way. And understanding, therefore, the koyach and the importance of these days. Understanding Yimei Elul. Understanding how important it is that we start preparing for the Yom HaDin. For Rosh Hashanah, for Aseret Yimei Tshuva, for Yom HaKippurim. And it's not something we just step into. We start off giving a mazel to Daniela and the chasana of Mirtz Hashem a week from tonight. A chasana is not something you just step into. You've done a lot of achana. You've done a lot of preparation. Begashmi uberuchni. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Months of preparation. So we're going to go to Yom HaDin. And we're going to go to be judged by the Rabbonus of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, and we're just going to show up. We're just going to show up. So we have a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a month of Elah, a month to prepare. So those individuals at the Kaisel understood that, and they're davening up late at night. There was first the Shiurim going on prior to the Slichos, and shofar being blown. Amazing hachanas, amazing preparations. What are our preparations like? What have we been doing to prepare for Yom HaDin, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, to prepare for the day and the time and the year when we're going to be judged and decided what our entire upcoming year is going to be? To decide where is going to be the Shefa and Bracha and Simcha and Yeshua of our upcoming year. These are very big days. They're not small days. You know, if you open up a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the very first halacha in Hilchos Tshuva has a language which is a little bit strange. The Rambam here says, in Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, I'll just read you a couple of the words. Any mitzvah, whether a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah, that a person is over, doesn't keep, whether on purpose, whether by accident, kishe yase tshuva, when you happen to do tshuva. And then the Rambam continues to explain what to do. But kishe yase tshuva, when you happen to do tshuva, it's a very strange language of the Rambam. The Rambam is known to be very exact with his language. What should he say? If you do any Avera, Chayev Lasos Tshuva, you're obligated to do Tshuva. Kishayaza Tshuva, when you happen to do Tshuva, seems like it's voluntary, it's a choice. If you want to do Tshuva, great. If you don't want to do Tshuva, okay. You'll have to suffer the ramifications. Tshuva's a mitzvah. Shouldn't Tshuva be a language of Chayev Lasos Tshuva? If you do an Avera, you're obligated to do Tshuva. What's even more strange, if you flip to the next parak, Parak Beis, in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam's talking about Yom HaKippurim and the Tshuva of Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim was man Tshuva l'chol l'yachid l'rabim. Yom Kippur is a time of Tshuva for the individual, for the masses. V'ukeitz mechilas l'chol Yisrael, it's the end of the forgiven period for Bnei Yisrael. L'fichach, therefore, chayovim akol lasos Tshuva b'Yom HaKippurim. We are all obligated to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur. Chayavim. So in Perek Beis, the Rambam does say you're chayav to do Tshuva. In Perek Aleph, the first halach is when you happen to do Tshuva. It seems like it's a nice thing to do. In Perek Beis, chayav lasos Tshuva, you're obligated. What's going on? So I heard many years ago from Meir Twersky the following idea. If you paid close attention, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, he doesn't talk about any particular time in the year when you're doing tshuva. It could be any time in the year. In Perek Beis, if you paid attention to what I read, Yom HaKippurim, he's talking specifically about Yom Kippur. And Rav Chorsky suggested the following. That all year long, of course there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. Of course there's a possibility to do tshuva. But all year long, we're in our everyday life, and we get caught up in that life, and we're used to our status quo, and it's very hard to change. It's very hard to work on ourselves. It's very hard to become a different person. And God understands that. God understands us better than anyone else in this world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us all year long, of course I'm giving you a gift that you have the potential to do tshuva, but I'm not going to obligate it of you. It's not going to be a chiv. If you want to do tshuva, amazing, unbelievable, and I'm going to accept it and give you all the bracha in the world. If you don't, okay, we're going to have to deal with what you did wrong, but I'm not going to hold you accountable that you didn't grab onto the opportunity of tshuva, because it's hard to do all year long. Comes Yom HaKippurim. One time a year, you went through a Elul, you went through a Rosh Hashanah, you're blowing shofar, you're saying L'David Hashem Ayvi, you're clapping Al-Chay, you're fasting, you're in shul all day. It's the most conducive time in the year to do tshuva. How can you not do tshuva? Chayev lasos tshuva, you're obligated to do tshuva. There, God expects it of you. He says it's an obligation. As opposed to all year long, which if you do it, great, but it's not going to be something that's an expectation. Which tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us differently throughout the year, and we all understand that. And right now, yes, we're not at Yom Kippur yet, but we're already a week into Elul. And this is the time of the year where Hashem expects from us to do serious introspection, to work on ourselves, to grow. Have we been growing? Have we been working on ourselves? Have we been trying to improve and to be metaking, to fix that which needs to be fixed? Because it can't just happen if I wait till Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Imagine, lo aleinu, you actually had a real court case, a serious court case. Somebody filed some complaint against you, some claim against you. So you'd meet with a lawyer and you'd have all types of discussions and preparations. We're going to go into that court case. We're not going to prepare. We're not going to work on ourselves. We're not going to show the Rebbeinu Shel, look what I've done over this month. This time when it's expected of us to work on ourselves and to grow. So what's reminding us of this? Yes, we've entered into Elul. So what do we have different during Elul? Now, most of you in this room, my assumption is don't go to Minyan for Shacharis. And don't worry, that's not what we're going to talk about. And none of you have a chiv to go to Minyan for Shacharis. And halavai you should daven a good Shacharis with Kavana. That's all. But because you're not going to Shacharis, so you're missing an opportunity of something special during these days, unfortunately. And that's to hear the shofar. Every day of Elul, the minhag is to blow shofar every day of Elul. Now some of you, maybe you have fathers or brothers who are able to blow shofar, and it's a nice thing if you ask them to blow shofar for you, and to listen to shofar every day of Elul. To wake us up, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu more properly, and to work on ourselves. But we have to understand this shofar of Elul, what it's all about. You know, Rav Sadia Gaon, when we talk about the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, he has 10 different reasons why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But what about the shofar of Elul? And even if you're not listening to the shofar of Elul daily, you all know it's going on. And you have to hear it in your lave, and you have to hear it in your sham, even if you don't hear the physical blows. What is the shofar of Elul about? Because the shofar of Elul is very different than the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. The biggest riot, the biggest proof, there's one day of Elul we don't blow shofar. Does anyone know? Erev Rai, I heard someone say it. Sarita, is you over there? Don't be shy. I know your voice. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. And there's different reasons why we don't blow shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah, but one reason is to differentiate between the chiyuv, the obligation of Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to blow shofar, as opposed to Elul, where it's only a minog, it's a custom. So we have one day break to show it's not the same shofar blowing. All of Elul are blowing shofar as a custom. Comes Rosh Hashanah, it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's a deraisa. So the shofar of Elul is a different shofar. What's the shofar all about? What is the shofar of Elul? So the Pirkei of Rabbi Eliezer is brought down in the Torah to explain as follows. What happened to Rosh Chodesh Elul? That just happened to be a month before Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Chodesh Elul was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to daven for Kapara and Slicha Mechila after we broke the Luchos. After he broke the Luchos, when we sinned by the Egel Hazav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a Luchos, and we messed up, we sinned by the Egel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset at us, obviously. And Moshe Rabbeinu went and he davened for us for 40 days, starting when? Rosh Chodesh Elul, ultimately to finally gain Tzlich Mechila and bring us the Luchos Shnios on Yom Kippur. From Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur is 40 days. So when Rosh Chodesh Elul was really the tshuva process began for the Egel Azov, and we emulate that every year starting our tshuva process. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, let's take it one step further, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, a shofar was blown. Why was a shofar blown? So listen, we all know, I'm sure you all learned, what happened by the Egel Azov. By the Egel Azov, we thought Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be up in Shemayim for 40 days, which he was. But we miscalculated, we were a day off. We thought he should have come back. Really, he wasn't coming back until the next day. All of Klal Yisrael and crazy, and were so afraid that they lost their leader, they lost Moshe, and therefore created this Egel to be a new medium between us and Hashem, right? We didn't want to miscalculate again when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. We blew shofar to symbol and to remind us of the proper calculation of these days. And the shofar of Elul is that shofar, to remind us of that shofar. But what does that mean exactly? How's blowing a shofar when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, going to help us not miscalculate when Moshe's up in Shemayim. Our miscalculation had nothing to do with when Moshe went up for the first time. We knew when he went up the first time also. The miscalculation was based on when we thought he was supposed to return. So that can happen again. Shkoyach, I'm blowing shofar, everyone should know Moshe went up. Everyone knew when Moshe went up the first time. What does the blowing of shofar really help us not to miscalculate? If we understand that, maybe we can understand what the shofar of Elul is really all about. So I saw an amazing idea from a Sefer Musar Vadas. And he says as follows. He said, when Klal Yisrael sinned by Egel Azav, you really think it was just Stam, they miscalculated? They were off a day and so quickly went and ran to serve an Egel. The human mind is an amazing thing. And we're all very psychological. And he explains that Klal Yisrael had a deep desire not to have to follow Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael felt that they wanted to do things their own way. They didn't want to be so subservient to Moshe. And because of that taiva, because of that temptation, but they couldn't just, Moshe Rabbeinu was their leader, and Moshe Rabbeinu was this amazing Navi, this prophet that we've never had and never will have again throughout all of eternity. Moshe Rabbeinu's up in Shemayim with God, they're not going to just revolt against him. So they had to create a rationalization. The miscalculation was the rationalization to feed their temptation to rebel. But that came from their own netiyas, their own desires. And that happens with us all the time. If we really think about it, so often our faults in Yiddishkeit, the areas that we fall short in Yiddishkeit, are so often rationalizations of our temptations. Meaning, for example, a person struggling davening. I don't mean just struggling davening, not having the kavana that we should have, because that's a struggle that we all have all the time. But struggling even davening at all. So that individual who knows they should be davening, but struggling even davening because they're lazy, because they're tired, because whatever the real reason might be, goes and rational and says, you know what, I have so little time by the time I wake up. If I daven now, I'm going to daven without kavana at all, and it's going to be meaningless, so I might as well not daven at all. And rationalizes and thinks up some sort of ploy and reason why they're tefillos, or my davening, listen, based on what I'm doing in my life, it's meaningless to Hashem anyway, so I'm just not going to daven. I'll daven eventually. And comes up with all different types of rationalizations, but really it stems from a place where you don't want to be davening, unfortunately. You don't want to take that time for God. But you're not willing to admit that, so we have to create a rationalization. You know, a person has a deep taiva, a deep temptation to not dress in the proper way, not dress in the tzniistic way that they should be dressing, that they know they should be dressing. But they don't want to, because they want to look in a certain way, and they want to, but they convince themselves, you know what, I want to dress tznius, and I care to dress tznius, but if I dress tznius, then my family is going to look down upon me and not going to think the same way and make fun of me. So it's just not worth it. Or, you know, I'm not going to dress perfectly sneeze because actually I have all these friends that are more modern and are not dressing sneeze. And if I dress not sneeze, they'll accept me a little bit more. And I could actually have ashba and be makarev them more that way. So I'm going to not dress sneeze because then I could have a big effect on them. And eventually I'm going to bring them back and I'm going to save all their neshamas basically this way. Now, the emes is that ultimately, you just have a taiva and a temptation not to dress sneezily. But we're going to create all these rationalizations, because that's how the human mind works, because I don't want to live with that sense of religious guilt. And it's easier for me to rationalize that which I'm falling short in. And that's exactly what happened by the Egel Azav. There was this miscalculation, but it wasn't really a miscalculation. That was the excuse for Klal Yisrael to revolt against Moshe. And each and every one of us, if we think about the areas in our life that need to be fixed, that we need to work on, we're constantly doing this. We're constantly rationalizing our temptations. So what's the answer? The answer is to fight the Yetzirah, to fight the temptation. You know when Klal Yisrael used to blow shofars? Klal Yisrael used to blow shofars when they go to war, when they went to Melchama. perhaps we could suggest that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim the second time, which was Rosh Chodesh El, the shofar was blown. And that shofar that's blown is the shofar that we're blowing every day of El. That wasn't the shofar just to Chvesnisht, wake us up, or coronate God, or all the different reasons that we know about shofar when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. You know what that shofar is? It's the shofar of war. That we're going to war with our Yetzer Hara. The Klal Yisrael said, this time, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up, we're not going to give in to our desires. We're not going to give in to our temptations. We're not going to rationalize. We're going to fight that urge and fight the Yetzer Hara. And we continue El to blow shofar every day to say, I'm going to start to wage war on my Yetzer Hara. I'm not going to give in to my desires and my temptations which are against Hashem. That's the shofar of El. You know, this week, Parsha, what are the opening words of the Parsha? Kiseitze lemilchama loivecha. The opening words of the Parsha, this Parsha of El, is Kiseitze lemilchama loivecha. When you go out to war against your enemy. And all the Mefarshim explain, it's referring in a deeper way to our enemy, the Yetzer Hara. And it's a war. Kiseitze lemilchama loivecha. We have to go out to war. We have to realize and we have to believe that El is a war with the Yetzer Hara. And we're at war with the Yetzer Hara. How do you wage war? What's the avodah? Because it has to be real. It's not just being inspired through a tefillah or through an extra shir during Elul, which is all nice and beautiful. But it has to be much more than that. You know, really, in a certain sense, the whole tshuva process and these days really already go back to Yemei Tisha B'Av. If you look at the whole year, the year is one big circle. And every time period is connected to the next. And it's clear that El is born after a Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is that time in Beit HaMitzrayim of destruction, we fall so low, which inspires to recognize we have to work on ourselves, I have to grow, I have to become so much more. And in fact, there's a pasuk in the pasuk in Amos in Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches says, Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira. Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira. When the lion roars, who's not afraid? So Bnei Yisrael explained, Aryeh is the constellation of Av. And Av is a very treacherous time, it's a difficult time, Tisha B'Av and all the calamities and tragedies of Av. Milo Yira, who's not afraid? But Aryeh also stands for Rosh Tevos. Aleph is El, Reish is Rosh Hashanah, Yud is Yom Kippurim, and He is Hoshana Rabbah, which are all the days of Tshuva and of Din. El, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. Meaning Aryeh Shog Milo Yira started in Av with the constellation of the lion, and it was a time of fear, but that's continued into Elul to recognize the fear is a spiritual fear, that Yemei HaDin are coming, and that I have to work on myself, and I have to wage war against the Yetzer Hara. So it stems already from Av. There has to be that which in Tisha B'Av and Av taught us how to be Matzliach, and really wage war against the Yetzer Hara. And blow that shofar in triggering that war. So in Eicha, we had a very beautiful pasuk that I think is what these days are all about in a certain sense. In Eicha, we read the pasuk I'm sure you're all familiar with. Nach b'sa derecheinu v'nach korah v'nashuva al Hashem. Nach b'sa derecheinu v'nach korah v'nashuva al Hashem. These days are days tshuva. V'nashuva al Hashem, we'll return to Hashem. When nach b'sa derecheinu v'nach korah. Now, if you know what those words mean, they're extremely repetitive, right? Nach b'sa means to search. Nach b'sa derecheinu, search into our ways. V'nach korah also is to search out. Nach b'sa derecheinu v'nach korah v'nashuva al Hashem. Search out our ways and search and return to Hashem. What does that mean? What's the pasuk teaching us? So we have to understand, because this is the key to how to do tshuva and how to wage war against the Yetzer Hara. The chipus, nachbisa, and nachkora chakira are two very distinct types of searches. Where do you have a lashon of chipus, of nachbisa? You have that lashon in the Gemara of when we search for our chametz. It's a lashon of chipus. You know, nachbisa, the first step is nachbisa. When you search for chametz, you're just trying to find the chametz. You just find what's wrong. First step is do some serious introspection. Take some time and think to yourself, what am I doing wrong in my life? What can I improve? What am I not doing well enough? How am I not serving the Ribbono Shel Olam properly? So some people think that's enough. You think about what you're doing wrong. Oh, and then decide, I'm going to do tshuva, I'm not going to do it. And let me say, what happens to us 99% of the times if that's all that we do? Within a day or 2 days or a week, we're back to doing it again. Whatever that is. So the Pasuk's telling us in Eicha something else. There's a second step of the searching, of the tshuva process. First is nachpas of a nachkora. So nachkora in the Gemara is a language by chakiras edim. What does it mean, chakiras edim? When witnesses come to testify in court, they did chakiras edim. They cross-examined them. And they asked them all different types of questions to get to the root of what they're saying and make sure what they're saying is right or wrong. Scenarios, situations, timing, all different types of questions. It's ripping apart the testimony to get to the core. So what is that telling us? Nachpes derechenu, first search into our ways, find out what we're doing wrong. But don't just stop there. V'nachkora, and then cross-examine. Think about why you're doing it wrong. What exactly is the situation that you're doing it wrong in? What circumstance? Who are you with when you're doing it wrong? When is that happening? And coming up, therefore, with a game plan to be successful in a shuvah Hashem. And there has to be a serious thought out, chipas v'chakira. Nachpas v'derachenu v'nachkora and then v'neshuvah Hashem. But it has to be real. It's not just tshuvah and elul and this war with the Yetzer Hara. It's not just some magical time period that if I go to, like we said before, we go to a few extra inspirational shiurim, like they have all the chveshnish, all the big, you know, all the big peoples have all these tshuva nights and three different speakers, and these are all wonderful things. I'm not saying this in light. Those, but that's only the trigger to then do serious tshuva, and the work has to come from each of us individually. That's to get us to understand how powerful these days are. And now, nachpas v'derechenu v'nachkora. Now sit down in solitude in your room and think to yourself, what am I doing that I should be doing better? And why am I doing that not as well as I should? And how can I do it better? And seriously do a serious cheshben nefesh. A serious introspection. That's the war. That's our part. And we have to understand it's a war. That means it's hard. It's not simple. It's not easy. It's not just let's just get closer to God during Elul. It's going to be great. It will feel good. You could have, how many of us in the past, how many of us in this room, I'm not asking anyone to raise hands, we don't embarrass people here, but how many of us in the past really have had sometimes the most incredible Rosh Hashanah davenings, or the most incredible Yom Kippur, we felt like we're like, literally like a malach, the highest we could be, and then within 3 days thought back and said, I'm literally no different than I was 3 days ago. Now, it doesn't take away from that day being very special and being very close to Hashem. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But ultimately, if we really want to be successful, we want to improve, we want to grow. So it's kiseisi l'mucham al-evecha. I have to wage war on the Yetzer Hara. I have to do some serious introspection. Nachpas v'derechenu v'nachkora. I'm blowing shofar every day to remind me it's the shofar of war. It's the shofar of war. So we have to think about what we're doing wrong. We have to think about the parameters and the situations and why we're doing wrong, and then come up with good gedarim and tactics and a game plan of how I'm going to fix it. I had literally today a few guys, late last night they wanted to, but I was meeting with a couple. I didn't meet with them until today. And they came to meet with me that they recognize, three different young men, that they're all having a similar area where they're struggling, big nisayon, and falling short of who they should be as Oivdei Hashem. And they came to discuss with me if I'd be willing to learn with them, maybe once a week, in this area, and to help them grow in this area, and come up with other tactics and ways to grow and not fall in this way. And it was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful thing for me as a Rebbe, for these three guys, first of all, not being embarrassed and coming together and recognizing that it's not enough just to know I'm doing this wrong. I want to learn about how I can fix it. I want to set up a game plan on how to fix it. I want to learn and grow and actually be metaking this area of my life. Not just, Shkoyach, I was inspired one day, I'm going to be better. It doesn't just happen. It has to be a machama. It has to be a war. And it has to come from each and every one of you. You know, this past, going back to Tisha B'Av, the day after Tisha B'Av, or maybe it was 2 days after Tisha B'Av, I saw one of the rabbi of one of the local shuls that I'm very close to. We were talking, and I overheard, somebody told me that he was in that shul, and this particular rabbi gave like hardcore mussar on Tisha B'Av morning about something. And I was very impressed. I was happy that he did. It was very special. So I told this rabbi, he's a close friend of mine, I said, you know, I was impressed. I heard that you gave this mussar, and you should know this. Someone told me he was very accepting of it. So rabbi looked at me and he said, yeah, and it was Baruch Hashem, I felt I had to, and I felt it was the right thing to do, but I don't think it changed anybody. I don't think it changed anybody. And he brought a riot, he brought a proof, and he told me, he's pretty sure, you know, all the people that really took to it were the people that didn't really need it. And the people who really needed it might have said, that's nice, but for other people. And I said to the rabbi, I have no idea. I have no idea who's going to change from it, who's going to take that mussar to heart or not. But because when he's telling it to me, he sounds very discouraged. And I said to him one thing. I said to him, I want you to know, as a rabbi, it's your job, it's our job to try our best to inspire and to be mechazik. But don't forget, it's up to each individual to actually change. You can't change anybody else. They have to change themselves. They have to put in the work. They have to put in the avodah. They have to decide. A rabbi could be there to inspire and to give chizik, but ultimately that chizik is there just for that trigger. The actual growth, the actual has to come from each and every one of us individually. And that's real growth, and that's real tshuva, and that's nachpas adarchein of nachkor v'nashuva al-Hashem. We have to really think about what we can do to change and to grow and to wage war on the Yetzer Hara. In the Mesil Shasharim says as follows. The beginning in Perek Bey is the beginning of Zahirus. Zahirus is watchfulness. Zahirus is steps to be careful not to do wrong against God. And that's really where the Mesil Sharm starts. It's an amazing sefer. I'm sure all of us have studied somewhat the Mesil Sharm. I don't know if there's a more important sefer in the world outside of Torah itself. I mean, when I say Torah Chumash and Gemara itself. But it's definitely the most important sefer Musar. Every other Musar sefer is only a peerish of Mesil Sharm. So Mesil Sharm starts with the Hagdama. Then Perak Aleph is probably the five most important pages one could ever read. Chovos Adam Balamo, one's purpose in this world. You can learn that every day your entire life if you'd like. You'd probably be a much better person because of it. And then after that is where he starts his steps of growth in a certain sense. And his first step is the Zahirus. The first place to start is being careful and watchful in not doing wrong. So he says as follows. Hine inyan ha-Zahirus v'sha adam nizar b'mayisov b'minyanov. Zahirus means you should be careful in your actions. Listen to this language. Misboneinu mifakeach al ma'aseh v'drachav. It's an interesting language. Misboneinu mifakeach really mean the same thing. It could be translated, understand and know what your actions are. But obviously he means two different things. And seemingly what I believe the Ramchal is saying, misboneinu, understand what we're doing, umifakeach, and be smart to understand how to do it properly. Nachpesav v'nachkora, basically. Hatovim heimim lo, to analyze and scrutinize one's actions. Are they good or not good? Levilti az of nashul sakonos avadim chasvachli lo yelich ba'alech hergelo kiver vafela. Not just leave yourself to the danger of rote, of mechanical living, and to walk in this world like a blind person in the dark. I mean, just living every day without thinking, without doing chesed and nefesh, without analyzing what I'm doing, whether it's wrong or right, and what I can fix. Certainly, the fact that God gave us a seichel, we're obligated to live such a life. Being that we have intellect, we have knowledge. And we have knowledge that enables us to save ourselves from running away and losing our neshama in a certain sense. Eich yitakin shirtu lahalim ein of metz also. How is it possible that a person should close their eyes from saving themselves? Ein chapchises v'holis rami zevade. There's nothing lower than that. V'osakein, someone who lives life without living a life of tshuva that we're talking about, without nach besoch techeinu v'nakora, without waging war on yitahara, without trying to improve, listen to the language of the Ramchal, who pachos me'abahemus mechayos, we're lower than an animal. Asher betivon, that naturally lishmar ta'atzmam. Naturally, they watch over themselves. Naturally, they protect themselves. And therefore, they run away from anything that's going to damage them. An animal knows to run away from something that's going to damage them. But we allow ourselves to fall prey to our temptations and not try to protect ourselves from that. Our avod is just, again, we're all going to fall. We're all going to fall. We all have yetzaharas. But are we trying to wage war on the yetzaharah? The Ramchal is telling us, are we trying to be Zahar? Are we coming up with ways and tactics and understandings to improve and to grow? It has to be with these steps. We have to analyze what we're doing, we have to understand them, and then we have to come up with the proper tactics and not just let it be because I know it's there and think that I'm going to be successful because I thought that what it is wrong. You know, there was a famous Greek poet, I'm sure you've heard of him, maybe read him back in the day, Homer. And Homer wrote about, he wrote the Odyssey. And in there he speaks about Ulysses. And Ulysses was on his way, he was traveling on a boat back from the Trojan War. And there was this amazing thing in the water, I'm sure you've all learned about this or saw this or read this, called the Sirens. Some of you maybe. The Sirens were basically in the water. They were these monsters, these two monsters, that were able to look like and sound like beautiful women and sing like apparently unbelievably in the most beautiful of ways. And they were singing so beautifully they'd draw all the boats closer and closer to them. When the boats would come close to them, the monster would go wreak havoc and kill all the people on the boats. Now Ulysses was going to pass by this area. And basically anyone who passed by this area was doomed. So one of the Greek gods told him that there's only one way. You have to get wax and put it in every single person on the boat's ears so that he can't hear the music at all. And if you don't hear the music at all, so you'll be able to pass by and not draw close and not row close to the place, because if you hear the music, it's too beautiful, you're not going to be able to stay away. But Ulysses also, he wanted to hear this music. He wanted to listen to that music, but it's so beautiful. So the god also told him, you, if you want, you don't have to put the wax in. You, the sailors, the other people in your boat, they'll wrap you around and tie you to the mast of the ship. And tie you tight so that you can't leave, because if you're not tied and tied down, you'll jump out of the boat and swim yourself to them, because it's going to be so beautiful. There's no way to hold yourself back. And if you tie yourself up, and you tell the sailors prior, whatever you say, don't go close. Even if they see you screaming and yelling, they stay away, and they're going to have the wax in their ears, they're not going to hear anything. You'll be able to pass by, and you'll pass by from a distance far enough that you'll be able to hear the beautiful music. And kachave, that's exactly what happened. Ulysses went, and he put all the wax in everybody on the boat, and they drove by, and he was able to hear the beautiful music, he was the only one ever to hear the beautiful music and survive. How was he able to survive? How was he able to survive? Because he took the proper precautions. Because he understood that the only way is if I take put up the gedarim in order to be successful. A person, for example, the mashal. A person goes and she realizes, you know, she wants to daven every morning shachris, but we're waking up very late. And then by the time I wake up, because I'm going to sleep late the night before, and I wake up and it's already time for class, it's time for work, I have no time to daven. Okay, I'll daven mincha at least. But I know it's important for me to daven shachris to start my day in such a way. So what does a person have to do? To just realize, okay, I'm not davening. Shkoyach, you know what you'll do? And say, oh, I'm going to daven, then I'm going to start davening. Shkoyach, so the day after Rosh Hashanah, maybe you'll daven, the day after that, maybe till Yom Kippur. By 3 days after Yom Kippur, you're already missing shachris again. But if first you go and nach, so first you realize, wait a minute, I'm not davening shachris. and then the Nachkorov. And then I cross-examine and I realize I'm not davening Shachris because I'm going to sleep too late, so I'm tired in the morning, because I'm not even setting my alarm to try to get me up in the morning, because I'm leaving work to do in the morning before it. So then I realize all the reasons that this is happening. And then I take the proper precautions. I start setting my alarm and I start making sure they go to sleep a little bit earlier and take the proper... Suddenly you can fix this. Suddenly I could do tshuva. And our avodah is to put in this avodah, to put in this work in all areas, whatever the area is, to first focus and understand what I need to work on, then cross-examine and understand why it's happening, and then come up with the tactics. And wage war on the Yetzer Hara, it could be mamash a different person, a birei chadasha. And by the way, I need to share a Torah that I think I shared before at this table, but it's worth repeating. Don't think for a moment I have to change in every way of my life in order to be a Baal Tshuva, in order to be Mezakeh to a good din on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim and have an amazing year. Just take one area. Just one area. That I'm going to be a Baal Tshuva in this year. That I'm going to grow in, that I'm going to work in, that I'm going to walk into Rosh Hashanah and say, Rabbeinu Shalom! Please give me a good year. Look at the last 3 weeks. Look what I worked on, and look how I've improved, and look how I've grown. You know, if you open up the final mishnah on Yom Kippurim in Masechta Yuma, it's a mishnah of Rabbi Akiva that you all know because it's a beautiful song. I'm Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, lift me miata mitar mi mitar eschem avichem mishvayim. Who purifies you, your father in heaven? Hashem purifies us. Hashem's going to purify us at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Akiva there, he quotes two psukim. Rabbi Akiva quotes a pasuk, V'zarakti aleichem mayim torim, that Hashem throws upon us purifying water. And then he quotes a pasuk, Mikvi Yisrael Hashem, that God is our mikvah. Two ways that Hashem purifies us. He sprinkles purifying water on us, or He's our mikvah. Why does Rabbi Akiva need two separate psukim to teach us this lesson that God purifies us? Rav Pam in the Sefer Atar L'Melech shares the most beautiful insight. He says the pasuk of Zerach Dechamayim Torah and the pasuk of Mikvah Yisrael Hashem are two very different processes in purifying a person. The way that a mikvah works is that a person has to put their entire guf, their entire body in the mikvah in order to be pure. If one pinky is sticking out of the mikvah, it wasn't a good tahara process. You have to go dunk again. If one blade of hair is out of the mikvah, it doesn't work. The mikvah you have to be completely engulfed in. V'zarakti me'achem torim is talking about the sprinkling of the paraduma, the waters of the paraduma. And the Rambam discusses there that you don't have to be splashed by the waters and soaked by the waters. If it touched one pinky, you're pure. So you know what Rabbi Akiva is teaching us? Rabbi Akiva is teaching us in this Mishnah by quoting both psukim. He's saying for each and every one of us, there are two ways to purify ourselves and to be a Baal Tshuva. Yes, there are some people that are big tzaddikim and zekanios and are ready to improve and jump in the mikvah and change every little thing about themselves. But most of us, tefasta merubah lo tefasta, you try to improve so much, you can improve nothing at all. You're going to end up with nothing. But don't worry. Don't have despair. Don't have yish. There's another type of tshuva. V'zerak dechamayim torim. Take one area, one pinky, one drop. Improve that, grow in that, but really do it. Not that I'm going to do it and then 2 days later not do it. But do it. Blow the shofar and wage war in that one area. During these days of Elul, in preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you'll be zoichev to all the tahara of the Rabbi Nishalom of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. To all the chsicha, mechila, kapara, to a year of simcha and bracha. You'll be a Baal Tshuva. Mamish a Baal Tshuva. But it has to be real in that one area. It has to be the war. Earlier today, I was working on this, and the Rabbeinu Shem sent me a very special matana. Mamish, tremendous. If you take the gematria of Chisei Lemechama Alevecha, you should go out to war on your enemy. Which we're suggesting tonight is that war with the Yetzer Hara, the war of Elul, this week's parasha. That we're all going to go on, and we're all going to think through Nach Pesad Derechina V'Nach Korav Neshuva Ad Hashem. Kiseisil Necham Al Avecha is exactly Gematria 817. Exactly Gematria Zehu Yesod Tshuva. This is the foundation of Tshuva. The foundation of Tshuva is to Kiseisil Necham Al Avecha, to go to war, to blow shofar, the shofar of Elul, and to defeat the Yetzirah and mamish walk out with all the tzchusim and all the tahara of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, Yom Noraim. Bez Yom Yitzvarach, each and every one of us should be zoiche to have the chizik to become that Baal Tshuva, to have the chizik to wage war in the Yetzirah, and therefore have a ksiv chsima toiva, gugubent yor, a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of refuos, of yeshuos, of besuras tovos, for each and every one of us and all of Klal Yisrael. Hail Shabbos Kodesh, Mirtz Hashem. Mirtz